Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. So picture yourself at a networking event or an after-work party. What is typically the icebreaker or the first question that you are often asked? So what do you do, right? After all, you're hoping to connect with people professionally, even at a party outside a work environment. That's often one of the first questions asked. Now imagine that networking event or that party filled with people who don't have a job. They aren't employed. They aren't connected with a company or an organization in some way, for whatever reason. What might the icebreaker question be then? There's a certain population of people who are able to work, but they aren't even considered for work in most capacities. In fact, there's about 75% of this population not in the labor force. But our next nonprofit has a mission to change that. They believe that in meaningful work lies dignity and self-worth, which is why they emphasize possibilities over limitation. My guest today is Eric Martin, Executive Director of Pantheon Industries, whose mission is to help individuals with disabilities achieve their full potential through a variety of employment opportunities. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill, for having me and EIG as well. Really appreciate the work you're doing here.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate what you're doing as well. I think so that the audience is familiar, if you could start by telling us who Pantheon is.
Sure. Pantheon Industries, we are a mission-driven nonprofit organization, primarily serving Waukesha County. And our primary role is just really helping people live full and meaningful lives, specifically in the world of employment. So we work with a very broad range of individuals to help them learn about jobs, find jobs, keep jobs, as well as some of the things that go around work. So what they're doing at home, how they can be more independent, what to do when they're not working.
And then how do you emphasize this idea of possibility over limitations with the people that you serve?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of the individuals that we serve have physical disabilities. They may have cognitive disabilities, behind the scenes, emotional or addiction type issues. So a lot of the individuals are just not considered in our traditional labor force because they don't look the part or that's not who companies would typically hire. But a lot of these individuals have tremendous skills and tremendous capabilities and aptitude to do work. So we want to make sure that they get that opportunity, even if it looks a little different in the interview process or how they actually complete the job.
And then you told me when we were preparing for this interview that there's a joke in the office that sometimes it's like a box of chocolates where you never know who you're going to get.
Absolutely. And we used to play this game where you would get a referral and you'd look at part of the information. And if maybe we had three referrals to get out and three developers, they would kind of pick, but you would never know. It could be a 40-year-old individual who was in construction and hurt his back. It could be a 22-year-old with Down syndrome. It could be, you know, somebody who's 55 and can't do, you know, hurt their back, got in a car accident and has to change line of work. So we really never know who we're going to work with, but they all have abilities and skills and hopes and dreams that we're trying to make happen.
And that's really the beauty of it, right? Yep. I mean, you're just working with a diverse group of individuals, which is wonderful. I'm curious how you got involved in this work. You know, why do you do it? Do you have a personal experience or know of someone who has?
I think everybody, if they look, has someone in their family with a disability or, you know, a relative or friend. You know, I'm no different. Mine, in my case, was my father. He was in the military for many years, ended up having a service-connected disability that ended his time in the service, went through the VA program for Veterans Administration through their Voc Rehab program to help look at school options, retraining, different lines of work. And he was so impressed with the program that he ended up wanting to be a voc rehab counselor and went back to school, got his undergrad and master's. In the meantime, I had gone to college as a six-year pre-med program, and after a year decided that is not what I wanted to do. I still wanted to work with people and help people. Something to do with business, but I really didn't have a direction. So I went home and was talking to my dad, and he's like, well, come talk to my professors. They're starting a workers' comp concentration within the voc rehab world. Maybe that'll be what you're interested in. So I went to meet with his professors, and they kind of sold me on the idea of, you know, you're still helping businesses, but you're helping people. It kind of meshed the two. So then I ended up living in the same dorm as my dad, not the same dorm room, but the same dorm. It wasn't quite Rodney Dangerfield, but we were closer than probably most come. And he ended up getting his master's the same day I got my undergrad.
Wow.
And then I ended up getting my master's and one of those rare people actually working in the field that they went to school for. So it was kind of cool.
Nice. And then how did you end up at Pantheon?
I was never supposed to be at Pantheon. I had a different internship with MetLife to do workers' comp management, which you did not hear me describe anywhere in Pantheon's description earlier. And it ended up falling through. They said it didn't have enough person-to-person hours to meet the requirements of our internship. So I'm in my program director's office crying because now I'm not going to graduate. My life is over. And the very next day, Rick Block, who was then the executive director of Pantheon, who had went to school with my program director, calls and says, hey, I'm looking for an intern to start a voc eval and placement program here in Oconomowoc. And at the time, I was running a voc eval lab on campus as a grad assist. And my parents had literally just bought a house in Oconomowoc.
Perfect.
Absolutely. So I'm like, awesome. I'll go there 6 months. MetLife will hold my job. And then 23 years later, I'm still here.
You're still there doing great work. Well, what is it about Pantheon that's actually kept you there?
Out of the gate, the mission, you know, the really desire to work and help and benefit people. There's not a lot of places where a 24-year-old can come in and be like, hey, we're trying to do something that no one else is really doing or not a lot of people are doing. There was a lot of work programs, but not the huge emphasis on community. Unfortunately, we're seeing that now in the industry, but 20-some years ago, I think Rick was ahead of his time. So that opportunity to be part of something new, the culture that really is like, we're not going to set limits. We're not going to, you know, things weren't always done this way, so we can't change them. You know, that was that culture of innovation, of trying to do what was best for the clients. And and then you start being part of something and you see the growth and you see the success and you see the vision for where it could be. And so I'm still here, still trying to do that same thing.
Yeah. So what did it look like back then, back in the day, 23 or so years ago compared to now?
Yeah. A lot of it's the same. In terms of we're providing a full range of service. Back then, there was probably, 50 or 60 clients on the work floor where they were doing a commensurate employment with different contracts. And we were doing a little bit of community work. There was 10 employees. I think the budget had just crossed $1 million when I started. With Rick and I and a lot of the other hard work from employees over the years, we're now at the point where we have about a $4 million budget. We have 60 employees and we're working with about 500 to 600 people a year, primarily in Waukesha County.
Wow. Well, that's quite the growth. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah.
You've told me that you want to provide your clients with what they feel is a meaningful day and not what someone else defines as a meaningful day for them. What does that actually look and feel like? Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned to find out. We'll be right back.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at EIG, and I'm continuing my conversation with Eric Martin, Executive Director of Pantheon Industries. So, Eric, your goal is to provide the people you serve with what they feel is a meaningful day, not what other people might think is a meaningful day for them. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. And, it's one of those things that can sound, kind of ominous or and that's not really the goal. The goal is that sometimes people don't know what other individuals are capable of. And that could be very well-meaning parents. That could be a case manager. It could be an employer. It could be a teacher. It's really hard to always know what someone's capable of. So our goal is to make sure that they have the opportunity to try. And, that might be with a work experience. It might be with a shadow in the community to look. It might be with a class to learn what work is, or to even see what some of their friends or people that they may know are doing in the community. So a lot of it comes down to just expanding an idea of what might be possible. And then, I don't think anyone really just wants to sit at home all the time. Yeah. I do sometimes on the weekend.
Right. Sit down, read a good book, relax. Right. But I think it's interesting that some of the people you serve may not know what it is that gives them that meaningful day. But I like that you're giving them exposure to different things so that they can then figure out what brings meaning and fulfillment.
Yeah, that's a great point. We actually have a guy that just recently came out of high school. He came to us with the goal of being an EMS responder, and unfortunately, he failed the test. So he was really kind of despondent about that, wasn't sure what to do. With our partners at DVR, which is the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, it's a state and federally funded agency that provides services to people with disability. We're working with their case manager, and, we're like, let's look at some career exploration. So he went through a couple different things, and it turned out that what he thought he wanted to do was a very high-paced, intense, decide on the spot, really didn't match his personality and some of his unique abilities. So then we did a job shadow at the hospital where he looked as a sterilization technician. And his eyes lit up and the recognition was there that it's like, wait a minute, this is organized. This has a dedicated process, timelines, timeframes. And he was actually so in with the interview and in with the exploration that they liked him. He was just so into it. So he's going back to school to learn how to do that. And they actually have a job waiting for him when he gets out.
That's so great, because we all know that some kids can go through 4 years of college with this idea of what they want to do, what they want to be, what will bring them fulfillment. And then they graduate with that degree and they're like, this is just not, this just doesn't trip my trigger. I don't want to do this anymore. How great that people can decide before they spend all that money and time getting a degree in something that ultimately doesn't bring them fulfillment. So exposing them to all kinds of different things is wonderful. You talk about having a full spectrum of services. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. It's one of those core things in our mission is that we have to meet people where they're at. So when we're talking about our work services, that may be what's considered, pre-vocational work or center-based work, where they're actually coming into our facility every day, either getting dropped off or we're picking them up, and they have a wide range of contracted job opportunities to work on. So they may be doing kitting, they may be doing packaging, they may be doing inspection. it gives them the opportunity to learn what work is, how to have expectations, how to have goals, how to gain more skills. Maybe they're starting on a one-step process and then learning how to do a two-step process. And then they're getting to a packaging job and then an inspection task with if-then decision-making. So it gives them that ability to, you know, have a safe, consistent place to go, have the supports necessary. If work in the community is maybe not the right goal at that point in time, but they still have to have a way to get there. For the individuals who then are getting closer, we offer what's called community-based pre-vocational services. So this is where they're now actively trying to take some of those skills that they've learned on the work floor and see how that might translate out to the community. So they may be going on a job shadow. They may be going to do a mock interview with an employer. They may be doing research on different types of careers, but they're getting out to the community to see what work actually looks like. If they're successful there, then we have what's considered community placement services or for community integrated employment. And so these are individuals who are doing jobs being paid by the company out in the community. And again, when we talk about the box of chocolates, any job that you've seen in the community, we may place somebody. So, you know, everyone has seen the individual with Down syndrome bagging groceries at Pick and Saves. That might be great. But you may not notice that the individual working at the bank teller may have had some mental health or depression and anxiety issues and needed some additional support to get that role. I think back, we actually had an individual who graduated college from nursing and then ended up having a double lung transplant, which is a pretty invasive procedure.
Yeah.
And most of the individuals, when they start nursing, are working on med-surg units or, you know, have a lot of exposure. Well, this individual couldn't work in those type of environments. They needed a sterile, you know, environment to work in, like a transplant ward. Most of those have, you know, you need 3 to 5 years experience, you know, before you could get into it. We were able to research and work with them, and then they ended up actually, they counted their own transplant experience as relevant work experience.
So why they not, right? Yeah.
I thought it counted.
Yeah.
And so they were able to actually get a job, you know, in the transplant unit coming right out of school. I mean, so who we work with in the community is, again, that full spectrum that we referenced earlier. Once people get jobs, you know, they may need help keeping those jobs. So that's where we provide coaching and support, not only to the individual, but sometimes to the employer. So there's a lot of great employers out there that are willing to look at different type of labor pools or, you know, non-traditional employees, but they just don't necessarily know how. So a lot of our work is supporting the individual, but also supporting employers. We work with individuals in what's called supported employment services that require a higher level of support. You know, they may have more involved disabilities, episodic illnesses. So we have to do a level of customization, you know, where maybe this isn't a traditional job title, but it's one of those things that every employer has, you know, 5 to 10 things that always get pushed down to the end of the to-do list. Well, what if we have an individual who would be really good at those 5 to 10 things and we can get them in, you know, once or twice a week to knock them out for you? Recently, we added day programming, which is programming for individuals who we have a population of individuals who are older, who, you know, maybe working for 6 to 7 hours on our work floor is not realistic anymore, but maybe they could work for half the day.
Okay.
And then the other half of the day, they could be involved in some type of program-based activity or therapy-based activity or work on some independent living skills. So when we speak to the full range, you know, it used to just mean work, but now we're trying to expand that scope even further to that kind of meaningful day concept and that what does this individual want to wake up and come to Pantheon and maybe work for a while, go out in our greenhouse, do some work in the program out there, you know, work on some independent living skills, and then go home. You know, that sounds like a pretty good day.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody should have a place. It's just finding where that place is, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have particular areas of expertise?
I never like to claim to be an expert, but I think there's, you know, what I tell employees, it's not that I've had all the answers. I've just made the most mistakes.
There you go.
So I think there are some populations that we've definitely had an opportunity to make a lot of mistakes and do a lot of learning and get, I think, pretty good at working with. We are probably the largest service provider to individuals with Prader-Willi syndrome in the country. We have a group home partner, Prader-Willi Homes, that people from all over the country travel to live in and be supported at. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Prader-Willi syndrome, but it's a chromosomal disorder, and the hallmark is an insatiable appetite.
Well, I have an insatiable appetite.
You know, the description is, imagine Thanksgiving dinner, you know, when you are the most full, right?
Okay.
Now imagine the most hungry you've ever been in your life. Now imagine that even after eating Thanksgiving dinner, you're still that hungry. Literally, their brain does not process fullness the way that you or I or most people do.
Hmm.
And then, so you have intense food-seeking behaviors. You have some other developmental challenges in terms of learning, in terms of behavioral modification. That's one of the main reasons I'm still there, is because they are such a fun group to work with, but it's some intense employment challenges because of the need for structure and the need for support. We're also the second largest provider of pre-vocational services in the state. So kind of what I spoke about earlier with the individuals who come in and come into our facility and engage in commensurate work. And then finally, we're the largest community employment provider in Waukesha County. Again, kind of showing that we believe in all the phases and we really want to support that full spectrum. So we're doing the most at the work center, but we're also trying to get the most people out into the community as well. And then whatever they need in between that process.
Very nice. Well, I imagine you need to partner with companies in order to do a lot of the things that you do. Tell us how you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Companies and partnerships are the lifeblood because, you know, it's always interesting. A lot of companies, it's like we make a product and then we sell a product. Well, our product are individuals with disabilities and the services that we provide for them, but we need a third, you know, we need a partner for that to ultimately be successful. So that may be a partner that we're bringing in contracted services with so that our clients in our on our work floor can have work to do. It may be a partner that is willing to entertain a group of our individuals to come in and do a job shadow so they can learn more about the company and what they're doing. It may be a partner who's willing to hire someone with a disability or is looking to expand a non-traditional labor force and then reaches out to work with us to try to help meet that demand.
And are you're constantly looking for companies to partner with to expand those options, right?
Absolutely. Because any individual that comes in, they may want to work in a field that we haven't partnered with before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to meet again what that individual need is. So if they want to work with pets, we've worked with a lot of individuals that want to work with pets. But we had somebody come in once who was really interested in working in ice manufacturing. They were very fascinated by ice and working with bags of ice and seeing the bags of ice outside of, you know, grocery stores and gas stations. So we did some research, did some reach out, and ended up partnering with, you know, a local company that produces ice. And we were able to do a job shadow and a tour and,
you know,
kind of explore that as a potential avenue of work.
Very nice. Well, I'm curious, when you reach out to a company about hiring one of your individuals, is there any skepticism or confusion over who you are and what you do? Like, if you're a staffing agency, or do companies pay to work with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, there is absolutely. You know, it's great when someone knows about us or somebody like us, because that solves, you know, some of that initial questions or that hurdle to get in the door. But a lot of times, you know, companies are used to working with a staffing agency. And, you know, while ultimately, yes, we are trying to get someone placed there, you know, our motivation is a little different. You know, we need to make sure that this is a good fit for the employer. And we also need to make sure it's a good fit for the client, because it doesn't do anyone good to put somebody in a bad spot. None of us want jobs where we're miscast. And, you know, we don't want that for any of our individuals. there's also the question of, you know, are they paying for our services? And fortunately, we're funded through the state in terms of when we're doing community employment, we are an outcome-based payment program. So when the client's successful, we're more successful. So the companies never have to pay for our services. If we're coming in and providing job coaching and support, there's no cost to the company. There's no cost for us to try to look and recruit and try to find an individual to help them fit a role.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
It's a win-win-win-win-win situation, yes. Right? Yeah. Well, walk us through a typical process then that someone might use to get a job through your organization and then maybe take us through a story or two of impact.
Again, it's that box of chocolates that we referred to earlier, right? And so just like we have a spectrum of services, we have a spectrum of how we may provide those services. So typically, we're getting a referral from DVR that I referenced earlier, or possibly working with a high school. And the individual is going to come in with an employment goal, and we're going to work with them to try to, you know, maybe tailor that goal to what we know exists in the local area. We had an individual who wanted to do some type of oceanic exploration. While the Great Lakes are big, I don't think they count. you know, so we have to try to find, you know, a way to get that goal realistic. We have to see what they need in terms of resume, readiness, interview skills. And then we're going to start to do some exploration and try to find where does that job exist. And in some cases, the clients are able to make the contacts with the employers and reach out, and we're just providing support. And other times, we're going to reach out directly. Maybe it's schedule a job tour. Maybe it's a short-term internship or some career exploration. Eventually, if they agree to an interview and it goes well, they'll be hired, and then we're going to provide the supports necessary to help them transition into that job. And again, that may be where that training for the client or training for the employer or helping to integrate any accommodations that may be required until ultimately all parties feel pretty comfortable where things are at. We have a successful outcome.
And people always like to hear examples of success stories or stories of impact. Do you have one in particular or two that you'd like to share?
I have two that actually just came up in the last month that are actually really interesting. So we have an individual who utilizes a chair that was unsuccessful finding employment for a while. And eventually we got them a job at a local restaurant chain, and they worked there for years, and it went really well to the point where they were probably there 7 or 8 years and then decided, this is an older client, it was time to retire. So they put in their retirement notice. They just had a retirement party. Mm-hmm. Some of the original developers who worked with this person 7 or 8 years still came and went to the party. Nice. And it was just this real cycle of employment that I don't think we always think of, but it was really cool to see the whole process. Mm-hmm. And then I had a job developer who's new reach out to me to ask me if I knew a name of a young lady that he had come across. So I actually placed this person 15 years ago as an assistant in a program. They were just out of high school, weren't sure what they were going to do. We, you know, after a couple of starts and stops at different companies, found a really good fit. And we supported them for a while, and they did really well. And, you know, it's one of those kind of things where it kind of goes out of mind. Well, they've been at this place for 15 years, and they're now training the new client that we just placed the position that they started in 15 years.
So coming full circle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, and it's just one of those cool stories that it's like, man, you know, they threw the name out. I'm like, yeah, I do remember that name. And they're like, they're training our new client.
Yeah, that's awesome to see. So, yeah. Well, you've got a lot going on at Pantheon in the way of programming and the services that you offer and the people you serve, all great, wonderful things. But I did want to just allow some time here at the close to see if you had any particular comments, closing comments for our audience today.
Absolutely. You know, if you're an employer that's looking to diversify your workforce, if you're having challenges, you know, figuring out how to meet certain demands or needs within your organization, you know, understand that there's a non-traditional pool of employees out there that could be a great solution for you. And there's a lot of other organizations out there like Pantheon that are doing a similar type of work. And, you know, but I'm definitely willing to help point people in the right direction if that's something that a company is interested in doing, you know, both for, you know, business purposes, but also, you know, that sense of contributing to the community, giving people opportunities that I think everyone should try to take in life when they present themselves. Additionally, we're looking for partners. There are a wide range of partners and experiences that we're trying to create and provide for our clients. So if you are a company that, you know, is open to having somebody come in and learn about what you do, if you have a really cool experience, you know, we have clients that go out to the nature center and, you know, farms, and we had somebody go into a manufacturing plant that we partner with on the work floor. And it was really cool for them to see, these are the machines that make the parts that I put together. You know, so we're always looking for partnerships in that regard.
And of course, donations. So if people go to your website, is there a donate button, or how would, if somebody's interested in doing that?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, we've tried to structure that all of our programming can be provided on a fee-for-service basis, you know. However, donations really help us when it comes time to exploring new programs, creating new opportunities. We're trying to expand our greenhouse program. We're trying to build out a commercial kitchen so that the produce that we make in the greenhouse, the clients can actually prepare food and maybe serve lunches to other clients. We're continuing to expand our day program and trying to build out an independent living skills apartment. So that's where donations and you know, philanthropic giving can really help us. So yes, there is a donate on our website. There's also a wish list on our website. And Rick Block, who was our previous executive director and founder, is our development director. His information is on there as well. If people are interested in charitable giving, he can definitely help let them know where that impact could be maximized.
Okay. Well, we thank you for being here today, Eric Martin, Executive Director of Pantheon Industries. We appreciate you sharing your mission with us and how you support individuals with disabilities through employment opportunities and beyond, right? So thank you for being a part of our show today.
Thank you again for having me and for Ellen Becker Investment Group for putting this together. It's a great platform for different organizations, and we really appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I'd also like to thank our listening audience. Thanks for being here and listening to MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where you learn about nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and perhaps find a place to plug in and share your time, talents, and resources, just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.